It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, there's so many breakthroughs on the horizon for prostate cancer. And so today we're talking with Dr. Jay Cohn. He's an expert on the newest tests and treatments for prostate cancer. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cohn. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of prostate cancer and testing for it, because I know that, you know, we've got some new tests like the PSA3 test, and I'd like you to just tell us about some of the different things going on out there and if PSA is still the norm.
Well, PSA is still the norm, but let me correct that. According to the medical authorities, it's not the norm, but according to every expert I've spoken to, and my own view is, it should still be done in every man over age 45 or 50 every year. They're telling us not to do it. They're telling us for sure not after a man is 70. And I don't know, most men 70 like to live to 85 or 90 or 95. You get prostate cancer when you're 72 and don't do the PSA. By the time you know you have it, it's pretty darn late.
So what are you saying? You do want men over 45 to get the PSA at their
Absolutely.
Internist every year?
It's our one early warning sign, and if you catch it early, it's usually very highly treatable. So this whole business about not doing it, you know why they're saying not doing it? Because doctors overreact. They have men get biopsies isn't clear they really need, and then if the biopsy is even a little bit positive, they shove them into surgery or radiation, which the statistic is, of the 50,000 men who get prostate removal surgery every year, 40,000 don't need it. Of the near 50,000 who get radiation, 40,000 don't need it. And what I convey in the book is, how do we know that? Why do we know that? Well, what can men do to better clarify what their diagnosis is and then what their treatment course should be? And the book talks about the new diagnostic testing, and it talks about the new choices in the mid-zone between radical treatment like surgery and radiation and no treatment at all.
Okay, so men are getting tested. Explain the PSA, just for the listeners out there who don't know what the numbers mean.
Sure. PSA means prostate-specific antigen, a small protein that prostate cells secrete normally. And there's a normal small level in men's blood, usually between 1 and 4 nanogram per milliliter. But prostate cancer cells have higher metabolic rates, so they put out more PSA. So when a man's PSA jumps up, even if it's not a big jump, it's an early warning sign. And it's kind of like the engine light on your dashboard. When it goes on, it means there might be a problem, but it doesn't always mean the higher PSA doesn't always mean cancer. It can mean other things. But when doctors fail to repeat the PSA or talk about the other possibilities and just rush men into biopsy, of which 1.5 million are done a year and half of which aren't needed, and then if the biopsy is positive, they go right to the radical treatment. So the PSA is important, and I urge men to get it. I also explain in the book, what are the things that could also cause a high PSA and what to ask your doctor about this before he overreacts to it.
What is a high PSA?
Well, the standard is anything over 4. But again, see, this is the problem. It can vary. If a man's PSA jumps from 1 to 3, you know, in 1 year, that can be significant. Some men have a high PSA, and some men, as they get older and their prostate enlarges, the PSA can go up, and it's just normal increase with the increased size of the prostate. So, again, a man with a prostate that's double the normal size of 40 milliliter can have a PSA of 7, and that's really normal. But a lot of doctors don't understand that, and they think, oh, my gosh, he's got cancer. Let's go to do biopsy right away. And yet, a normal enlargement of a prostate is common in older men.
Now, of course, most men do not even want to think about the first easiest test, which is the digital rectal exam.
Yes.
And they should be getting that, what, every year the same?
Yeah, the same thing. And it's important to get. And just tell the urologist to use a lot of lubricant, take a deep breath and let it out, and just try to relax the muscles in your body, close your eyes, and it's not really a bad test.
And you can look for a urologist with small hands.
Actuality. Excuse me?
I said, and you can look for a urologist with small hands.
That's true, and there's some lady urologists, too, who we'll assume are probably smaller on average.
That's certainly true. Now, suppose you do find out that you have prostate cancer. The newest treatments today, because this is a cancer that they typically call, Dr. Cohn, they're actually calling this a curable cancer.
In most cases, it's highly curable, and that's why it's so important to not run amok and go overboard with treatment. You know, every expert in America recognizes that the big problem, and this is why they're de-incentivizing the PSA, is that doctors overreact, and surgery, the best statistic is of the 50,000, I already give you this, the 50,000 surgeries that are done a year on the prostate, removing the prostate, 40,000 aren't needed. And this is a huge problem because that surgery or that radiation frequently causes long-term, often lifelong, impairments of sexual functioning and bladder control, and that has devastating effects on many men.
Wow. So, okay, so talk about the latest treatments now.
Well,
what's going on?
Let's just take one step back and go to the most...
Well, we only have about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so...
It's the most important. It's about diagnosis. The right diagnosis leads you to the right treatments. The most important advancement, which, again, most doctors don't know about or tell their patients, and my doctor didn't tell me when I was diagnosed a year and a half ago, is there's a new MRI. And in the past, we have not had MRI technology that works for the prostate because it's so deep in the pelvis. We have it now. It's not available in most places, but it is available in the top cancer centers of America, you know, Mayo Clinic, MD Anderson, Sloan Kettering, and they're using it. And now they can tell you what you have and where you have it, and just as importantly, where you don't have it. That makes treatment planning much easier and much less radical in most cases.
Okay, so once you know basically the kind, the stage, what you've got, the diagnosis being the most important part, then you can go on with treatment, and most men can live a relatively normal rest of their lives.
Well, we're developing targeted treatment. It's always been all or nothing. And now we find that the great majority of men have a localized cancer in one area or two areas that aren't threatening and are lower grade in aggressiveness. And now we have these lumpectomy, like women get, kinds of technologies. There's laser treatment now. There's a high-intensity heat ultrasound treatment. There's a freezing treatment called cryotherapy. I talk about all these in the book, too. And they're now available for men who want to get it out and don't want to just watch it. These are now, you know, in-between treatments that are much less harsh on the body. And then there's a newer active surveillance that uses the new technology to watch a cancer that really is not threatening and just observe. And if there is a change or a shift or a jump further in PSA, then they can use the local therapies in most cases. And this spares men a tremendous amount of pain.
In the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Cohn, your best advice on the newest treatments and diagnosis for prostate cancer.
Well, I put it all in the book, and I make it short and quick and fast reading, 110 pages, step-by-step PSA to biopsy to, you know, MRI diagnostics and other color Doppler ultrasound. The important thing is with most cancer, prostate cancer, there's time to inform yourself, gather all your information, get second and third opinions if you need them, and make an informed choice.
That is really the best advice, and that's the way to do it really for all of our patient advocacy. We have to make the best choice based on information, and that's what you're getting right here at Radio MD, the best and most quality information on the internet. You're not getting this up and down the dial right here at Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.